Radio New Zealand International Pacific Regional News. I'm Don Wiseman. A Spanish-speaking man who says he's been adrift at sea for the last 13 months has arrived in the Marshall Islands capital. It's been confirmed the man, initially thought to be Mexican, is from El Salvador. He floated in on a fiberglass boat to isolated Ebon Atoll on Thursday, recounted his story in sign language and pictures to locals. He claimed to have survived eating turtles, birds and fish, and has now been brought to Majuro, where officials are expected to try and corroborate his story. A correspondent says he managed to walk off the Sea Patrol vessel after the 22-hour journey from Ebon into a waiting ambulance. He's been taken to hospital. The Tonga government is hoping to significantly increase the numbers of workers travelling to New Zealand and Australia under the temporary seasonal employment schemes. Under the schemes in each country's horticulture sectors, Tonga's provided nearly 3,000 workers in the past year. The chief executive of Tonga's Ministry of Internal Affairs, Lopeti Sinatuli, says these workers earn more than $20 million and remitted about half that to the country. He says the impact's significant and the government wants to send more. Mr. Sinatuli says there are already another 1,500 people registered wanting to go.
There is also pressure or requests from the Hapai Islands, which has been recently struck by the tropical cyclone Ian, for placements for workers from those Pacific islands that were affected. And overall, it's the government's intention to do its best to increase the numbers from Tonga.
That's the chief executive of Tonga's Ministry of Internal Affairs, Lopeti Sinatuli. The Australian government is negotiating with a construction company to take over welfare services from the Salvation Army for asylum seekers on Nauru and Manus Island. The Salvation Army's $65 million contract with the government for services in Australia's camps on the islands ended at the end of January. Last week, Transfield Services announced to the Australian Securities Exchange that it was taking over responsibility for support and welfare services. A spokesman for Transfield Services, David Jamieson, says the company would retain 40% of the 300 staff working under the previous contract. He says Transfield provides entertainment and recreation programs at defence bases in Australia. He says more specialised counselling is still to be handled by medical personnel. Transfield's an Australian-based global national corporation that provides operations, maintenance and construction services. Spokesman for the Refugee Action Coalition, Ian Rintoul, says Transfield's top priority would be its shareholders rather than the welfare of asylum seekers. Nine retired teachers from Fiji have been briefed by Vanuatu's Minister of Education, Bob Luffman, and will begin teaching in the country soon. The Vanuatu teachers' unions criticised the deal, saying it should have been consulted and local teachers should be given jobs first. One of the teachers from Fiji, Setariki Taranga, who will be teaching agricultural science, says the three females and six male teachers assigned all have more than 20 years of experience. Mr. Taranga says they've been asked to help improve the school's performance and student grades.
We got to improve the performance of the school with regards to our subject areas and also help in areas that we think we can assist in the running of the school, in sports, maybe in church, wherever we can. That is our assignment.
Setariki Taranga says their contracts for 2 years and their salaries will be covered half by the Fiji government and half by the Vanuatu government. He says the school curriculums for Vanuatu and Fiji are similar. A group of Pacific women politicians and leaders have met in Fiji to find ways to boost the number of Pacific women in elected positions. The Pacific has the lowest number of women in government in the world at just 4.7%. 20 women from seven Pacific Island states came together for a workshop in Fiji last week, which is organised by the Asia-Pacific Forum on Women, Law and Development and the Fiji Women's Rights Movement. The group selected Papua New Guinea's Minister for Community Development, Lajaya Kosa, to chair a Pacific Women's Caucus.
At a regional level, we work together to strengthen participation of women within the Pacific region on various platforms and groups, lobby groups, and that kind of thing. Wherever we can, we want to be able to be that united caucus for the region of women.
Ajaya Kosa says one of the group's first priorities will be to support women in Fiji who are standing in the country's upcoming elections in September. The Solomon Islands government says the country can expect adverse effects on its future development if no sound land use policies in place. The director of the Land Use Planning Division of the Ministry of Agriculture and Livestock, Titus Sura, says effective land use planning is critical for the country. Mr. Sura says livelihoods could be damaged by unsustainable development, natural resource degradation, increased food insecurity, and loss of opportunities for productive development, among other things. He also says land conflicts are a threat, and a proper land use policy would help to avoid them. The National Land Rural Use Policy will commit the government to adopting and implementing a systematic and rigorous land use planning process throughout the Solomon Islands when it's developed and agreed to by Cabinet. Trimarine International says it wants American Samoa to be the tuna hub of the Pacific. The company, which is building a new cannery in Pangopango, believes that smaller island countries should be delivering their catches to the local canneries rather than trying to build their own fish processing facilities. The Chief Operating Officer, Joe Hamby, says the local canneries need security of fish supplies, and neighbouring island countries can provide that. He says because American Samoa's exclusive economic zone is small, there's a lot of tuna caught around the country, and bringing it to Pangopango will help small island countries and give markets confidence the tuna is packed well.
So there has to be a cooperation, a common goal of bringing the fish to American Samoa from the surrounding areas, places where they don't have the infrastructure or they don't have the population or the water to support a large-scale tuna processing facility like the one that we're building here.
The Chief Operating Officer of Trimarine International in American Samoa, Joe Hamby. A founder of a new project aiming to foster greater participation of Tongan women in agriculture says females are a huge asset to the country and need to be given more opportunities in the sector. The Women in Agriculture Media Project is targeting better two-way communication between women in Tongan agriculture and official information providers, as well as taking up opportunities in New Zealand markets. Anthony Huss of the New Zealand-based Centre for Citizenship Education says he got the idea for the project when talking to a New Zealand importer.
He said, "You know, I'm terribly impressed by the effectiveness of the women. They are great workers. They are better than the men, much more reliable. Dainty fingers makes them much more effective in pollinating. I'll tell you the product. The product is vanilla." He was in the vanilla business, and he saw the strength of his women workers. That's what made me feel, hey, here's a positive story here. Here's something we can build on.
That's Anthony Huss of the New Zealand-based Centre for Citizenship Education. Cooked breadfruit from Samoa is still banned from entering New Zealand, but the first trial of export cooked breadfruit to Australia has had positive responses from retailers there. The general manager of the Farmer Joe company in Apia, Alex Brunt, says its modern commercial oven's been used to bake the breadfruit and says feedback from the retailers and customers alike has been positive. That's a bulletin of Pacific Regional News from Radio New Zealand International.